Morning, Chief. If you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Chief. We do a roll call, please.
Actually, if we could start first with a moment of silence for the officer from Apache Junction that was shot in the line of duty last night.
I didn't hear anything about it.
Yeah, he was shot in the line of duty. He went through surgery, and he's in ICU and still in critical condition. But good. Officer Brookman from Apache Junction PD.
Thank you, Matt. I wasn't aware of that, so if we can just silence. Thank you, everybody. My prayers and wishes for that family. I wasn't aware of that. Thank you, sir. Roll call, please.
Sheriff Daniels is in the room. Commander Figueroa, are you with us?
You show Matt Figueroa?
Yeah, he's...
I'm present.
Commander Figueroa, can you hear us?
I can hear you guys. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. We're having a little bit of a technical difficulty, but we can hear you.
Okay, let me see if I can fix my audio, but I am present.
Dan, is that on my end?
We hear him.
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, I think I saw you earlier. Can you hear us?
Yes, sir.
Ms. Kelly, can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Good morning.
Good morning. Sheriff Rhodes is in the room. Professor Robinson's in the room. Deputy Director Hunter, are you with us?
I'm here.
Good morning.
I'm here.
Deputy Director Porfiri, are you with us?
Present.
Chief Oskis is in the room and Chief Williams is in the room. We have a quorum, sir.
Thank you, Matt. Any comments, thoughts from the board members before we start the meeting? Anything at all? I'd like to welcome our new chief on the board. And Chief, you want to take a few minutes to introduce yourself? And
yeah, I'm Chris Foskis. I'm the chief for the city of Eloy. Been in law enforcement for about 43 years, or maybe a little bit longer. I just don't want to go that deep. And this is my second go-around as an Arizona Post board member, and I want to thank the governor for entrusting me in the honor of appointing me to the back to the board, and I look forward to doing it.
Well, Chief, welcome aboard. We look forward to working with you. And 43 years, just breaking it in, huh?
Oh, yeah. Just getting started.
All right. Well, welcome again. Matt, turn it over for the executive report.
We've got Commander Figueroa, if we've gotten the sound fixed. He's new to the board as well. This
okay.
is his first
he
meeting.
On?
He's the Coconino County Jail Commander.
Commander, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Are you guys able to hear me now?
We are now. So good.
Okay.
You want to take a few minutes and introduce yourself?
Sure. So I'm Matt Figueroa. I am the jail commander for the Coconino County Sheriff's Office. I've been with the organization going on 25 years now. I'm currently over our detention facility we have in Flagstaff, and then we have a 72-hour holding facility in Page. I oversee that, and I am excited to be appointed to the committee, and I look forward to helping any way I can.
Thank you, Matt, and thanks for joining us, and welcome to the board. Now back to Matt.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple things. Independent advisor, Assistant Attorney General Roberto Pulver will be your advisor for the Leo Buffa and the Aaron Minor cases. And then if you could look at your agenda on new cases, number 5 in regards to Stephen Gilbert, it's case 20-146. We had some additional information come in earlier this week, so we're going to go ahead and pull that to ensure that we're able to provide you a complete overview at next month's meeting. And with that, sir, if you don't have any objection, I'll go right into my executive director's
yes.
report.
Go ahead, man.
Just a couple things. We have been exploring a partnership with the Arizona Department of Corrections, and we actually entered into, over the last couple weeks, an IGA with them where they are going to supply us with a full-time person to work in our office as a compliance specialist. As you know, our rules also oversee basic academy and hiring standards for members of the Department of Corrections. We now have one of our compliance specialists does those new hire audits, works with them on their training. We thought it would be good for us as well as good for the Department of Corrections if we partnered and brought one of their staff members over. So we've been working very closely with Deputy Director Porfiri, who has really gone above and beyond. We entered into this IGA. It's a no-cost Arizona Post. The DOC is going to pick up the cost of the employee, and we'll hopefully have someone on board. We're hopefully in the next month or so we'll have someone on board here in-house working with us, alongside us, on DOC issues. So we're really excited about that. I'd like to, again, congratulate or thank, because it was not an easy task. It was a lot of work, but Deputy Director Porfiri, as well as Mike Oroz, our compliance manager, for working tirelessly to get this accomplished. Again, I think it's a big win for us. Again, branching out, bringing in, and being more collaborative with our partners. So just wanted to let you guys know we're doing that. A couple other things. In December, we had two attorney generals present to you a settlement offer we'd received from Barlow, the Barlow matter, where we had denied certification. We were announced or advised last week that we've been dismissed from the lawsuit. So that is off the table. The board, if you remember, actually some of you weren't here, but in December the board voted not to accept former Officer Barlow's settlement agreement and let it go. And then, again, this month we were released from the lawsuit. So that's done from us. Prop 207 training, I talked about it last month. Again, obviously all the changes that come about with the legalization of recreational marijuana. We hosted training here March 2nd. We did it virtual. We had some technical difficulties, but we ultimately had more than 500 people on the virtual training that took part in that. We have then since sent out the training. It's on our share file that some more people are viewing it probably every day. But I really want to thank Don Mertz from Arizona HIDA, as well as Elizabeth Ortiz from APAC. They are my partners in this endeavor, and we couldn't have done it without them. It was a joint venture, and again, we got a lot of really good questions. It went almost the full 3 hours. It was really well done, and again, to my partners, I thank them. And with that, I'll end my executive director. We have a fairly full agenda, so I want to keep it kind of brief, but I'd be happy to answer any questions the board might have.
Any questions by board members? Hearing none. Thank you, Matt. Consent agenda. Moving on to item number D. I need a motion to accept the consent agenda.
So moved.
Motion
by Jerry Williams. You gave us notice. Jerry Williams, so moved.
Do we have a second?
Chris Foskes, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any discussion? Hearing none. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Item number E, 2019 Training Deficiency, San Carlos Recreational Wildlife Department.
Mr. Chair, yep, that'll be me. And normally, as you know, we put these into your consent agenda, but we have two items this month referenced training deficiencies that were significant enough that I thought I'd bring them. We put them into individual agenda items so we could have more discussion over them and in case you had any further questions. But the first one involves the San Carlos Recreation and Wildlife Department. If you could, though, if you look at your list, we're going to be pulling two people out that have since this agenda came out, they have since come into compliance with their training records. So if you could remove Isaiah Anderson as well as Zachary Ashke, they are both now in compliance with training records for calendar year 2019. And the reason, again, we pulled this one out is because originally that everyone on this list constituted the entire department. And we wanted to let you know that if we had restricted, again, we were restricted, it was going to be their entire department. But as of now, two members of the department will be unrestricted, but the remainder will be restricted until such time that they provide us their records. It's a little bit of an unusual situation, but the training staff previously and now our compliance staff worked tirelessly to obtain these records. And as you know, it's 8 hours of continuing training every year as well as 8 hours of proficiency training every 3 years. Again, I know there's some burdens and some hurdles, but 2019 was pre-pandemic. Again, it's just getting records. So oftentimes we don't get records, and again, we send out letters saying, hey, we're going to go to the board, and then we start getting records. So again, we work very hard. We bend over backwards to accommodate AGs, and unfortunately sometimes we just can't get the records. But again, that's why we pulled this one out. And that's why we're asking for a individual motion on this one, just because, again, it's a little bit of a unique situation. And with that, I'm happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Mr. Chair, if I may, Jerry Williams. So, Matt, what are we doing to make sure or what information is being pushed to this agency to make sure that this doesn't happen again?
Constant communication. Our compliance specialist is in constant communication with the chief, actually. And actually, I got an email yesterday that the chief had one deficiency on. It was a judgment shoot. He was hoping to do it yesterday. We just haven't heard that he officially has completed it. It really just comes down to a tracking and training mechanism. As I talked about a couple meetings ago, one of our plans for 2021 is to automate training records, and where agencies will be able to just upload all their training records, and we would be able to have a real-time idea of who was in compliance and who wasn't. But we're not there yet, so we still just do spot checks. As an agency of this size, we check everyone. As agencies get larger, we look at a sample size. But again, we reach out, we send letters, we communicate very thoroughly with them, and sometimes it's just hard to get the information back.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other discussion? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, Yavapai County Sheriff. I move to restrict the certified status of the peace officers of the San Carlos Recreation Wildlife Department who are deficient in the required annual training for 2019. The restriction shall remain in effect until the training or qualification requirement is met and written verification is provided to board staff.
Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying yay.
Aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, say nay. Motion carries. Moving along to action item number F. Matt.
And this is the same thing. This involves the Navajo Nation Department of Public Safety. And again, as you all know, last month you gave them an extension for 2020. However, we're still having issues getting documentation for 2018 and 2019. If you look at the list that we put together in your board packet, you'll see everyone that we sent a letter to. After months, actually years, of trying to get sort of documentation, we finally said that we need to move forward. So that's why we sent letters to all of these officers saying, hey, you are deficient in your continuing proficiency training. Since that time, we've received a number of people who have come into compliance. So you don't need to note this. I'm going to read the names for the record just so we make sure it's clear. But we have gotten compliance from more than 20 of the officers on that list. So I'm just going to read the names again. It's Farrell Begay, Rosalind Benali, Rex Butler, Arlinda Chichelli Nez, Michael Henderson, Ty Joe, Vera Nelson, Reader Nez, Verna Nez, Shirley Sanisa, Gordon Totolina, Dana Tomey, Eric Williams, Ernest Yazzie, Tommy Yellowhair, Hosteen Chester, Carolyn Clashy, Darwin Dooley, Clinton Gilbert, Patrick Hull, Pamela Hurley, Henry Moore, Irene Six, Alvernon Sosi, Gilbert Yazzie, and Rick Gravett. They have all provided us documentation that they are now in compliance and they can be removed from that list. But again, just the fact due to the sheer volume of the cases is why we pulled this out of the consent agenda and wanted to provide it as a standalone agenda item. And again, Steve Jacobs, as of yesterday, was still communicating. And I will say, in 2018 and 2019, based on some academy issues and some discussions the previous administration at Arizona Post had with them, there was a lack of communication. I would argue that over the last 2 years, we've increased that level of communication, and Steve Jacobs has done a really good job this year communicating with them to get all these people to come into compliance. So I'm comfortable that we have now reestablished those good lines of communication and that we'll continue to get these officers back into compliance with continuing and proficiency training standards. And again, with that, happy to answer any questions anyone might have.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions?
I have a question. David Rhodes, do we know, or is there information, is this an access to training issue?
It's not. That has never been communicated to us. It's just a lack of communication is the way it's been explained to me. We just couldn't get them to communicate to us. As you know, Sheriff, we have more than 8 hours of continuing training available on our website. That their agency coordinators can download and watch videos and whatever. And then proficiency training, we'll work with them any way we can if we need to send up subject matter experts. But they have
they have instructors in every proficiency skill on in Navajo DPS. So again, that's never been communicated to me, but that's a possibility. If you'd like, I can follow up with Chief Francisco and see if that's an issue. But again, it's never been communicated to me.
I guess I just, looking at the sheer number of people that are out of compliance for that period of time, I would just like to feel confident that there is access to the required training. And if it literally is a communication issue, getting that information back to Arizona Post, that's one thing. I feel like as the board, we should just assure that there is access.
Nope, that's. I will contact Chief Francisco and see if that's the issue, and if so, see how we can help him solve that.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, Director, Joe Porfiri, Corrections. One question with regards to the sheer volume and the action before the board. I'm curious as to, and it may not be a board issue, but I want to put it on the floor with regards to continuity of operations and public safety of this particular jurisdiction with the sheer volume of officers who are going to be restricted as a result of any vote to affirm the recommendation.
Matt, can you say?
Deputy Director Fury, I can answer that. As you know, in 2018, the Navajo Nation Department of Public Safety started their own academy. And they have put on at least three, if not four, classes that are not – those officers that graduate are not certified by Arizona Post. So they already have a significant number of people that aren't governed by this body. But they also have almost 200 – if I – don't quote me on that – but right around 200 officers on their department, the majority of which are Arizona Post certified. So, again, although we restrict their certification from the Arizona Post perspective, clearly they have shown their approval of providing service to their community with non-certified peace officers. So we would have no jurisdiction for them on the reservation taking enforcement action on tribal members. I hope that answers your question.
It does, Director. Thank you for the clarification.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Director. Any further questions? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chair. Kevin Robinson. I move to restrict the certified status of the peace officers of the Navajo Division of Public Safety who are deficient in the required annual training for 2018 and 2019. The restriction shall remain in effect until the training or qualification requirement is met and written verification is provided to board staff.
Thank you, Professor. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Aye. Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Move on to action item G. Matt, back to you.
This is a request from the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions. As you know, we added more board members in the last couple months. And in a conversation with them, they asked how we onboard new board members. And as all the new board members can attest to, I meet with you, I give you a packet of information. One of those documents is about a 30-page document written by our illustrious Attorney General, Assistant Attorney General, that provides you some guidance. The Boards and Commissions was happy to hear about that, and they said, can we have a copy of it? When I went to release it to them, I realized it was marked confidential. And so I wanted to make sure from the board's perspective, personally I don't see any issue with releasing it, but I wanted to get the board's permission and direction that you're okay with us releasing it to the Arizona Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions for their future, possibly advising other boards on, hey, this is a really good way to communicate with your board.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions? Thoughts?
David Rhodes, I was glad to waive my attorney-client privilege as related to this communication. I think that it's a show of transparency about what the board is actually doing up here as a real, the instruction that we've got as board members. I think it's a good faith effort, and I really didn't see any harm for me personally. So I am going to, if there's no other discussion.
Any further discussion?
I move to grant the request from the Governor's Office of Boards and Commissions and provide a copy of the board orientation memo.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Foskis, I second the motion.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed, signify by saying nay. The motion carries. Moving on to action item H. Back to you, Matt.
And I apologize, you're probably getting tired of hearing from me. We're getting near the end. This is the five-year review report for the Arizona Administrative Code. In 2016, we made significant changes to the rules pertaining to Arizona Post, and by statute, we're required to go in every 5 years and review. And this really just gives us an opportunity to look over our rules, make sure we're meeting our needs, make sure there's no issues with the rules that we created, and then report back to GIRC on our review of our five-year review. So again, I'd like to throw some special thanks out to Mike G. Marino. Going through the rules is not always entertaining. It can be very dry, but he works with our consultant, Jeannie Hahn, and they went through all the rules. They provided the correct documentation, and you have a copy of it in your board materials. And again, we didn't notice any issues. Obviously, we're always looking for ways to improve, always looking for ways to provide better customer service. But this is just an opportunity for us to look to the rules, make sure we weren't inhibiting anybody. And again, we're comfortable with what we're doing, and we just wanted you to be aware of that and make sure that when we send it back to Governor's office, you're good with that.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Foskis, I move to allow staff to move forward and submit the five-year review report to the Governor's Regulatory Review Council for their review and approval.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carried. Moving on. Action item I, Matt.
And this is kind of a piggyback on what we just discussed. This is, we're requesting permission. The governor has a moratorium on rulemaking. And to start the rulemaking process, you have to get a relief from that moratorium, which is what we did last year when we changed all of our minimum standards. So what we're asking for, because, again, we're always looking for ways to improve, and we have a list of things we want to change in our rules. But, again, the first step in that is seeking permission from the governor's office to waive the moratorium on the rulemaking process. So that's where we're coming to you saying, asking for your permission. I'll write a letter to the governor's office asking for them to waive the moratorium so we can begin the rulemaking process. Just a couple things we're looking at changing. We issue the comprehensive final exam to anyone graduating from the academy, and historically we've issued two versions of the comprehensive final exam to people that are wavering in from out of state, depending on their previous history. Now that we use an online platform, we have one test. We think it really didn't really make any sense to us why we're issuing two different tests for people wavering in. Let's give them the whole test. That's one thing we're going to change in our rules. We want to change the number of hours to the basic academy curriculum. Our next agenda item will be going over that. And if you notice in our rules, it talks about the 585. And to make any changes to that, and as you know, we're an ever-evolving profession. We need to make small changes here and there. We'd have to go back to the rulemaking process every time if we leave 585 in there, if we wanted to deviate from those hours. So that's one of the things we're changing. A couple other things is continuing training. The way the rules were written, everything in continuing training had to be tied back to the original 585, and sometimes that's difficult. And the example we'll use is like a DRE or something. It's hard to tie that back to the 585. I think Taser was one we had a hard time. It's not taught in the 5. So what we're looking at is changing the rules on continuing training. As long as it's applicable to the role of a peace officer, we want it to be considered eligible for continuing training credit. We think it's reasonable. And a lot of our partners have asked for that. And as well as one of the things coming out of our compliance side is delayed eligibility for recruits. The board, over the last couple years, we've had cases where recruits in the academy do something wrong and get kicked out of the academy, and then we open a case on them for denial. Denial is just like revocation for an existing peace officer. It's permanent. And oftentimes, if you look at these cases, you read the facts, you realize it's an immature individual who made a bad decision.
should we really preclude them? We've had ANC heads, we've had board members ask, should that really preclude them from being a peace officer 5 years from now? Well, under your current rules, it does. A denial is permanent. So what we have talked about internally, and we're still working on how it exactly work, but creating some kind of delayed certification. So we want to make sure you're more mature. We want to make sure you have more life experience. Whatever it might be, whatever we think that person might need, we want to give them the ability to become a peace officer later in their life versus taking it away from them permanently. So, again, that's just something we're exploring, just to give you an idea of some of the things we'll be asking for in an upcoming rulemaking process. But, again, the first step is asking the governor's office to release us from the moratorium on rulemaking. So, really, that's what we come before you today asking, is permission to write that letter and ask for the variance.
Thank you, Matt. Any questions, comments?
So, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I don't have questions. I do have comments. So thank you for the examples, Matt. It kind of gives it context and puts it in light. I remember taking that comprehensive final when I came back round two. Wasn't fun. So, Mr. Chairman, if I may move, unless there's more discussion, I guess.
Any further discussion? Go ahead, Chief.
Okay, Jerry Williams, I move to allow staff to seek a waiver of the governor's moratorium on rulemaking.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman. Kevin Robinson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carried. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to action item number J. Back to you, Matt.
Mr. Chairman, thank you. This involves updates to the lesson plans for our basic academy curriculum. And this is a long time coming. And again, I'd be remiss if I didn't thank Mandy Faust for pioneering this whole endeavor. It was a lot of work. She worked very closely with Lori Waite in the back and Aaron Thomas, who couldn't be here today, as well as our subject matter expert committee. And we did invite, as I go through this, you'll see that our largest proposed addition to the curriculum is in defensive tactics. And again, I'd be remiss if I didn't recognize Sergeant Mike Puente from MCSOs in the back. He is the chairman of your subject matter expert committee for defensive tactics. If you can imagine a group of type A personalities, that is them. And Mike did a phenomenal job keeping them engaged, getting their feedback, directing the group, and we couldn't be more thankful to his working relationship with the Arizona Post. Thanks, Mike. But with that, I'll go into my presentation. We have approximately, I talked about the 585, and we had approximately 88 lesson plans in the 585, spread over a countless number of areas. You were all given access to the share file if you wanted to review the lesson plans. But again, the team has worked tirelessly. We reached out to all of our subject matter expert groups that were already existing. We had to rebuild some. We had to create new ones. They've been working incredibly hard to do this. And again, it's a give and take. It's a give and take. You know, subject matter expert committees wanted something, and we had to kind of find that sweet spot on what's appropriate, what works for all academies. Because again, keep in mind, some of our academies have 50 recruits on average, while others might only have 7. So we had to find the right balance for academies. So as you look through, and I'll hit some of the highlights. Again, I can't go through. Mandy's team actually touched with the subject matter expert group more than 40 of the 88 lesson plans, which is an incredible amount of work. And again, I applaud her for her efforts in that. But just to hit some highlights, I talked about it, but we hit almost all of our proficiency skills. So we started with firearms. And again, the recommendation was going from 50 to 80 hours. In talking to the SME group and everyone else here, we decided to go from 50 to 70, to go from 50 to 70 hours, so adding 20 additional hours. 10 of those hours are specifically spent on de-escalation and decision-making, which I don't think anyone can over-accentuate how important that is. We're also going to add 5 hours to low light and 5 hours to marksman, basic marksmanship in firearms. And again, that was coming out of our subject matter expert group. Again, defensive tactics was the biggest. We're actually going from, although on paper it says 40, most academies are doing about 56, we're going to bump that up to 80. And I talked about this last time in our meeting just to give you an update when I was giving you an update on our progress for 2020 and our plans for 2021. What you'll really find is the subject matter expert group, we convened, and Mike helped us with that over at MCSO back in August, a DT subject matter expert symposium We invited every subject matter expert in DT to come to MCSO in August for a week, and they had discussion, they had demonstration, and then they sat down and went over lesson plans, and this is what they came up with. So it's about 40 extra hours on paper. And again, the biggest thing I think you'll take away from this is they hit all the different lesson plans in DT, but are the seven foundational principles of defensive tactics that we equate it to the same fundamental principles of firearms tactics. And we can all remember those when we went through the academy. Every time you did something with firearms, they hit the fundamentals, those four fundamentals. Well, we're going to be doing the same thing with defensive tactics. And just to refresh your memory, it's mindset, positioning, emotional control, de-escalation, and communication, duty to intervene, duty to report, render aid, and overall professional application of reasonable force. Again, I think if you've been watching the news, it's what police leaders are asking for. It's what all of our academy staffs were asking for, as well as the community. I think it's a really good thing. I'm really excited about this. I think it's going to be well received from our academies as well as the communities we serve. Moving on, community and police relations. From top to bottom, that was overhauled. We had to actually convene a subject matter expert group because we didn't have one previously, but we convened one. And we've done something that, to my knowledge, Arizona Post has never done. We invited community members to be a part of that. And we had a community member actually sit on the board, as well as civilian employees from around the state sit on the board with sworn members to revamp every single one of those lesson plans. Again, it's really exciting. It's very cutting edge. It's very new. It's exactly what the community is asking for. And again, I'm very proud of what the group did with that. Going to patrol procedures, you're going to see an increase there from 3 to 8 hours. Again, it's instruction on autism and police response, as well as behavioral health crisis response. Again, I think if you watch the news, you see what's going on in the country. We can't have our officers overtrained in this area. So again, we felt it was necessary to add those hours. There was one request from the SME group for high-risk vehicle stops. They wanted to go from 8 hours to 16 hours, and they provided a really good lesson plan on close-quarter high-risk vehicle stop. However, we thought it would actually be better as a standalone curriculum. So what we're going to do is we're going to push out the extra 8 hours. Instead of making it mandatory in our basic academy curriculum, we're going to make it optional for academies who have extra time. As you know, even though we talked about the 585, every academy in the state is doing well and above 585 hours. So if they have the time, if they have the desire, we're going to give them a really good lesson that they can incorporate. The last thing we're talking about is tactical driving. Our subject matter expert group wanted to go from 28 hours to 80 hours. And the reason being was, again, I talked about those class sizes. In your large classes, they were worried that some of their recruits weren't getting enough actual wheel time behind the wheel. There was a lot of standing around just because you had so many recruits you had to cycle through. Unfortunately, when you talk to the smaller academies, they're like, our guys are getting plenty of time. If we have 6 or 8 recruits, we don't know what we'll do for those extra hours. So what we did, we sat down, round-tabled it, and we're proposing to you to add 12 additional hours to driving, which would take them from 28 to 40 hours. And that would round out an entire week of driving. We think that, again, trying to meet the needs of our large academies as well as our small academies. We think that's the sweet spot for us, where we think it's beneficial and it makes sense. But again, if you just look over the documents that are in your packet, anything that's got a red date in it are the lesson plans that we overhauled. Again, there's 42 lesson plans in here that have been touched, and it's quite a feat. It sounds simple, but even just updating lesson plans and the formatting we have to use is a lot of work. But we couldn't have been successful without Mandy running the team, without Lori and Aaron meeting with the SME groups. And they were here all the time, whether it was virtual or in person, and talking to everybody, soliciting that feedback. And that's what we want to be. We want to be collaborative. We don't want to just sit here at 2643 East University and say, this is what you're going to do. We want to make sure we're hearing from our academy staff partners, because they're the ones that are out there teaching it. But again, we're really excited about this. The plan is, if the board approves the lesson plans that we've submitted to you, we will convene a academy head meeting next week. We'll start rolling. We'll give them immediate access to the lesson plans, start getting them familiar with it. And then Mandy, Lori, and Aaron are going to go on the statewide tour,
and start working with each academy on how to teach it, how to present it. Mike will be a part of that too with the DT group on how do you present this new curriculum, how do you make it successful. And again, and then we'll be coming back to you. I think we're going to give you a two-year review schedule. We review everything every 2 years. We just make minor changes here and there. But Mandy is suggesting a two-year review of lesson plans and updates that we would bring back to the board. Because, again, I think we can all attest that we're an ever-evolving profession, and we need to make sure that we're providing our new recruits, as well as our existing officers, with the best training possible. So with that, I know I talked a lot. There's a lot of information here to process. But I can tell you, it's really well done. I'm really excited about it. I think this is going to be a feather in the cap of Arizona Post because, again, we've listened. We've listened to our agency partners. We've listened to academies, and we've listened to the community on what they want to see, what they want their officers to be trained in at the basic level, and that's what we're giving them. So with that, I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Matt, and thank you to everybody to put that together. I think it matches current needs and requests from community also. So thank you. Thank you, Mike, for your SME expert on that. So with any questions, comments from the board?
So, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, this is a heavy lift, and we probably should have done it a lot sooner, but let's not dwell on the past, let's dwell on the future. I love the idea of the two-year update because law enforcement changes so quickly and evolves so quickly. To the sheriff's point, I am happy that we connected with community members because how we train and how we serve is predicated upon our service to the community. So congratulations. I'm super jazzed about this. Y'all did a great job.
Any other comments?
Yeah, David Rhodes. I, you know, as a former academy commander and just trying to integrate this type of training or this type of change into an academy is an incredible lift. I read through this, and I took the time to visit with a few of the SMEs that contributed to this, that worked at our agency and whatnot, and then beginning to understand the rulemaking process to even make these kind of changes. I would echo what Chief Williams says, which is an incredibly heavy lift. And it is a response, though, to what, not only to what the community wants, but to what we now know about de-escalation, about how police officers respond and react in certain situations. And so incorporating science, incorporating common sense, incorporating all these things into giving a better training product is just fantastic. And so I'm excited about it. I am excited to vote yes to move forward if somebody wants to make that motion.
Any further comments? If I don't hear any, we'll go into a motion.
So, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to approve the 42 lesson plan revisions to the curriculum for basic training as submitted by the Arizona Post staff.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
David Rhodes, I will second that motion.
Thank you, Cheryl. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everybody, for that. Moving on to action item K, final action cases. Number one, Leo Buffa. Mark Brechtel, over to you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The parties, post staff and respondent, Mr. Buffa, offer the attached consent agreement for your review and your consideration. The respondent, Mr. Buffa, is a retired Phoenix police sergeant. He is not represented by counsel, and he is present remotely. A little bit of background regarding the consent agreement. In May 2016, Mr. Buffa went to somebody's residence and without justification knocked an individual to the ground and punched him in the head and in the face. And as far as the individual, he was treated for minor injuries at the scene. Respondent believed the individual had an extramarital affair. Subsequently, Mr. Buffa was tried and convicted of misdemeanor assault. Mr. Buffa subsequently retired with the Phoenix Police Department. Several observations for the board. The parties, Mr. Buffa and Arizona Post staff, agree that Mr. Buffa's actions in 2016 are in violation of post rules, specifically Rule 109A7 and 109A8. The parties propose that the board impose a one-year suspension beginning on January 9th, 2020 through January 9th, 2021. Therefore, the suspension time has been fully served. This proposal is within the range of permissible discipline for other officers who, while off duty, committed misdemeanor assault.
Thank you, Mr.
Chairman, Jerry Williams, I should have asked this or said this. I need to recuse myself from participating in this case.
Thank you, Chief. Noted. Any questions for Mr. Brechtel? Hearing none. Mr. Buffa, does he want to address the board?
Mark Brechtel, Mr. Chairman, he's available in case the board has any questions.
Any questions for Mr. Buffa? Hearing none. Okay. I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis, I move to accept a proposed consent agreement for a one-year suspension of peace officer certification from January 1, 2020 through January 1 of 2021.
Thank you, Chief. I hear a second.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Final action case is number 220-022. Mr. Glass, Mr. Caldwell, are you on?
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. This case does involve former Scottsdale PD officer Matthew Glass. On December 16, 2020, the board initiated proceedings against the certification of Mr. Glass. Per policy, complaint notices were sent to his address via regular and certified mail. The notice sent by regular mail was not returned to AZ Post, and the one sent by certified mail was delivered and signed for on December 26, 2020. To date, neither Glass nor anyone representing him have contacted AZ Post to request a hearing. To briefly summarize his case, on December 18, 2019, Glass was the driver and sole occupant of a pickup truck on East Route 66 in Williams, Arizona. Officers saw the vehicle speeding and swerving on the roadway, and they conducted a traffic stop. A Williams officer noted manifestations of intoxication as he spoke to Glass. Glass was unable to complete sobriety evaluations, and he was taken into custody at the scene. State administered tests indicate his BAC near the time of arrest was .229 and .200. He also admitted he had consumed at least 8 beers over the course of the day. Court records indicate Glass later pled guilty to extreme DUI in Williams Municipal Court. It should be noted that the Williams PD officer described Glass as respectful, cooperative, and apologetic during the incident. Glass is no longer employed with SPD as a police officer, but he still works for the agency as a detention officer. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board suspend his peace officer certification for a period of 12 months. And I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members may have.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any questions, comments?
Mr. Chairman, I have a question. It's more of a procedural question. What has been the standard or the precedent or the rules surrounding certified officers receiving DUIs? How has the board handled that in the past?
The board several years ago determined that we wouldn't bring before the board any just run-of-the-mill DUI where it was less than extreme. The board decided anything that was extreme or above, they wanted to see. And then this recommendation and this proposed consent agreement falls in line with what historically the board had issued previously for discipline for a non-collision extreme DUI. Okay.
So, unfortunately, I'm sure these cases are going to keep coming before us. So, if it's impaired to the slightest degree or above a 0.08 but less than a 0.15 BAC, that is an agency discretion, or that's not something that the board has seen?
That was the direction of the board several years ago, yes, correct. So we are not aware or advised of those, and if we are, we don't bring those to the board.
Okay. And then anything above a 0.15 or extreme DUI is something that the board asked to see. But that was the direction that we got. So this is where we're at today.
Correct. And I think Mark has.
And may I compliment the ED's answers. This is Mark Brechtel. For the first part of your question about a DUI under the .08 limit, if there are aggravating factors such as the officer was in a car accident, the officer, the off-duty officer fought with the arresting officers on scene, if there are aggravating factors, that case may be presented to the board, as you can all imagine. However, as the ED has pointed out, if the impairment level is .08 or below without an aggravating factor, your prior boards have decided that it did not need to be brought to the board. And that's why in your packet today you have a number of extreme DUI cases that are going to be presented. I think there's four, total of four coming to you.
Well, great. So we can hash this out now. So did you have a question? So
no.
I actually wanted to have Mr. Chair Jerry Williams. Sorry, I wanted to have this discussion because I think it's worth the discussion of us looking at DUIs in general, just because of transparency and how the public perceives our officers in DUIs.
And Mr. Chairman, I'm sorry.
I was going to ask a question, Chief. Are you talking about any DUI or is there a BAC that you're going to?
So part of me, I think, wants to talk through what that could look like. So we know agencies have them. I'm the big dog in the room. We have them all the time. But I think when it comes to the public asking questions about whether or not officers can do their job, and if we're treating officers the same as community members, part of me wants to say let's look at them, but I may be opening the floodgate. So I'll take the wisdom of the board and you all out there.
I know. And this was a huge discussion, like Matt said and Mark Brechtel said. We've had these discussions on agency discretion versus a board oversight. And that's where that's how the implied rules came up, where let's look at these instead. Because we don't want to take that discretion. I think a case came out of Phoenix PD that drew a lot of that discussion. So that's where we're at today. I can tell you that much. So, Professor, you had a question?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. The question I had is, does the board have any assurances that there is consistency when there are agency discretions? Because if agency A, one of their employees, an officer, gets arrested for DUI, and that person gets an 8-hour suspension or a written reprimand even, and another agency that has the same thing and they get a 40-hour or an 80-hour suspension. I'm just curious as to whether or not the board has any assurances or any information that there is some consistency across the state.
I will say this, and this is what drove that conversation. We had a lot of conversations on it over the years, was the inconsistency at the agency level. And we wanted to be consistent at our level, at the post level. So that's why we came up with the standards. But we also wanted to be guarded and cautious that we don't take discretion away from department heads, sheriffs, and chiefs. We wanted to make sure their voice was heard. And in fact, one of your leaders, came and spoke to this board about that same thought. This should be our decision at the lower levels where there's not aggravating factors or it's not extreme level. So
that was along Mr. Robinson's question. David Rhodes again. This is my next question. So we've established a standard about what's going to come before the board relative to BAC, but you mentioned aggravating factors. Is there a standard along the lines of those aggravating factors that agencies must report to Arizona Post if you have this .08 to .15, including a car accident versus not a car accident, or fighting with the cops versus being apologetic, or any of these things? Like, does that exist?
It does not. By statute, the only thing an agency is required to report to us is when an officer separates employment. So the example you give, if someone had a .08, got in a fight with the officers, but that agency decided to retain them as an employee, they have no obligation to report that to us. Now, that being said, if it made the news, if we were made aware of it by the arresting agency or a member of the community, we would take that information, open a case, and present it to the board. However, if it didn't get any of those things and it was just and that employee retained employment, we would be none the wiser.
So that's kind of what lends itself to the inconsistency, is that there's you could have people end up before the board that committed very similar actions one end up before the board and one not?
Well, I don't think anyone will disagree with you, sir.
Yeah. And based on the rules, there's, I don't know what we do. That was the inconsistency that we spoke in depth about. So,
if I could, as I talked about 2 months ago, we got that we're set to get additional funding to create a statewide officer misconduct database, and this is definitely something that we can consider. Because again, since I've been here, my big thing is consistency. I want to make sure that officers in Phoenix are being treated the same as an officer in Snowflake Taylor. I want to make sure that we as a board are providing consistent treatment to peace officers as well as consistent training. And I think by having that statewide misconduct database, we might get one step closer to doing that, and we'll definitely include that in our conversations as we work through that process, which will probably take the next year.
I think that's an really important work. I'm very happy to hear that, and I certainly am not looking to I do think there needs to be agency discretion, and there's, as an agency head, you want to be able to make decisions as related to these things. I guess I just am concerned, and this is probably a discussion for another time. We have a lot of cases to go through, and I want to make sure I understand what the board has done historically, but I guess the concern for me personally is that that consistency in how police officers are treated, and so that they understand what to expect based on, you know, certain conduct and whatnot, and that the agencies know what to expect based on, you know the outcome of their investigations, for the reasons that, you know, Chief Williams talked about, which is really it comes down to transparency. And you know, we know that it's difficult if you have an automatic 30-day suspension on your driver's license to put a police officer to work on a desk, and a lot of people don't get to work if they have that kind of suspension on their license or whatnot. And so this may be a discussion for another time, maybe not. I'm just seeking to understand at the moment.
Sure. Hopefully we answered all your questions.
Thank Mr. You. Rhodes, Mark Brechtel again. Just if I may complement this discussion with one additional observation, is that in this particular case, the recommendation from post staff is 12 months. As you'll see in the next case, which is an extreme DUI where there was a car accident, and you'll hear those facts, the recommendation will be 18 months. As far as the discipline to be imposed for a case like this, the board just has to operate within a permissible range of discipline. So there are cases from prior boards where an extreme DUI, a board decided that 3 years of suspension time was appropriate. And in that case, the officer had prior DUI arrests. And so there were additional factors for the board to weigh. So as far as the standard would be what is a permissible range of discipline. Could be from 1 year, could be to 3 years, it could even be revocation under the circumstances that would warrant it. The board has that range of discipline to consider. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. Healthy discussion. Any other thoughts, comments? If not, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I move to suspend Mr. Glass's peace officer certification for 12 months from December 16, 2020 through December 16, 2021.
Thank you, Professor. Do we have a second?
Mr. Chairman, I'll second. David Rhodes.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Moving on to final action case number 320-160, Mr. Brotherton, Mr. Toborek.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Dave Toborek, one of your compliance specialists. This case involving former Deputy Sheriff Aaron Brotherton was first presented to the board on November 18th, 2020, at which time the board voted to initiate proceedings. The issue before the board today is to determine whether to accept, reject, or modify the findings of facts and conclusions of law and impose a sanction if appropriate. The facts of this case are, on or about June 7, 2020, Brotherton was involved in a single vehicle accident, striking a tree and city sign while causing significant damage to his vehicle in the median of the roadway in the area of 10900 West Glendale Avenue. Subsequent investigation by the Glendale Police Department resulted in Brotherton's arrest for extreme DUI, 0.20 or above, and other DUI-related charges. On February 18, 2020, as part of a plea agreement, Brotherton pled guilty to one count of extreme DUI, 0.20 or above, in the City of Glendale Court, and the other charges were dismissed. On November 25, 2020, a copy of the initial complaint initiated by the board was sent by U.S. mail and certified mail to the address of record of Mr. Brotherton. On March 3, 2021, I tried contacting Mr. Brotherton at what was listed as his telephone number, but received no response, and I did not receive a response to the message I left. I also emailed Mr. Brotherton, but have received no response. To date, no communication has been received at Arizona Post from Mr. Brotherton indicating that he desired a hearing in this matter. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that the board suspend the peace officer certification for Mr. Brotherton for a period of 18 months, starting from when the board initiated proceedings on November 18, 2020. I would also like to point out, and it goes along with the discussion that was just had, that this recommended sanction is longer than the board heard earlier for a similar case due to the accident that was involved in this matter. And I would be happy to answer any questions if the board has any.
Thank you, Mr. Borg. Any questions?
Chairman, this is Jamie Kelly.
Go ahead, Jamie.
I need to recuse myself from this case, please.
Noted. Thank you. Any other comments, questions?
David Rhodes, I'm afraid I've got another question about this. So.
Go ahead.
Under the current post-board standards, if this case did not involve something that was above a 0.15, there would not be agency requirement to report it to Arizona Post. Is that correct?
Yes and no. Yes, but also even the facts as presented, the agency would not have been under any obligation to notify us. The reason we were notified was because they separated his employment. That's how we were made aware of the situation.
So this car crash could occur with a certified officer that was a 0.149, and the agency did not separate employment. They would be free to administer discipline or not or whatever, and there's no requirement to report it to Arizona Post.
That is correct.
Thank you, Sheriff. Any other comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis, I move to suspend Mr. Brotherton's peace officer certification for 18 months from November 18th, 2020 through May 18th, 2022.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. Call for the motion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed? Aye. Thank you. All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to action item L, new cases. Case number 120-056, Aaron Miner, Mr. Caldwell.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Billy Caldwell, one of your compliance specialists. Commander Miner, formerly with Scottsdale PD, attended a staff meeting on May 9, 2019. During this meeting, a Scottsdale assistant chief made inappropriate comments relating to sexual orientation. Commander Miner and one of his subordinates heard the comments, spoke about how concerning these remarks were, and talked about how the matter should be handled. Within days, Commander Miner reported the incident to another Scottsdale assistant chief, describing the comments as inherently offensive. He also said he and his subordinate were appalled and offended by what had been said. Scottsdale later began an internal investigation, and Commander Miner was interviewed on June 28, 2019. During the interview, he asked if he knew anyone who was directly offended by comments at the staff meeting. His answer was essentially that he did not know of anyone, and this seemed to contradict the statement he previously gave when he reported the incident. Scottsdale initiated an additional IA case focusing on whether Commander Miner had been truthful when he said he did not know anyone who had been directly offended by the comments at the staff meeting. As part of this second investigation, Commander Minor asserted he had not been intentionally deceptive during the interview on June 28, 2019, stating he believed that a person had to have been both targeted by the comments and offended in some sort of way to be considered directly offended. And by that specific definition, he was unaware of anyone at the meeting who met those criteria. He also asserted that the investigation was retaliation because he reported the incident. Scottsdale concluded that Commander Minor did not truthfully or completely answer the question posed to him on June 28, 2019, and he was terminated. He appealed the termination, but the city manager ultimately upheld the decision. I'd be glad to answer any questions that the board members might have about this case.
Thank you, Mr. Caldwell. Any comments, questions?
So, Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams. So I have probably more comments than questions. So reading through this, this reeks of retaliation, in my personal opinion. It doesn't say in this case at all what happened to the assistant chief who made the disparaging comment or remark. I would believe in today's day and time that obviously assistant chiefs should be held to a higher standard, much like chiefs. So I'm deeply troubled by this one, and I just wanted that on for the record because, it, in my opinion, it looks more retaliatory than a good and equitable investigation. Those are my comments.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Caldwell, do you want to, can you, I know it wasn't a question, any comments from you on that?
Scottsdale did investigate the comments made by the assistant chief. I do not have the report that indicated any kind of punishment or sanction held against him. I hope that makes sense to you, Mr. Chairman, and the board members.
So that Jerry Williams, I'm sorry, Mr. Chair, that does answer that question, which makes this even more troubling, in my opinion. So thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Mr. Cole. Any further questions?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I always feel good when I agree with Chief Williams because I think she's so much smarter than I am. But when I read this, I have to be honest with you, and this is as a resident of Scottsdale, I was appalled. Appalled from the standpoint, it seems to me, that the person who we're being asked to discipline, to sanction, is the person who brought the issues to everyone's attention, brought it to light. And the person I think we should be talking about is the person who made the comments, and that doesn't appear to be the case. You know, I personally, I just think that there's something wrong here. I mean, I don't know how else to say it. I don't know how else to put it. But Scottsdale, the city of Scottsdale, Scottsdale Police Department, I think they owe us a little bit more than this. I think we should have, if they want us to take action or if we should take action, we need a lot more information, complete information. What was done on their part, who, what happened with Assistant Chief Slavin, how thorough of an investigation was this? You know, as I read through the whole thing, there's just, there are, you know, like Chief Williams said, there are more it causes more questions or raises more, gives me more pause for concern than anything else.
Other comments?
Yeah, David Rhodes, I was going to make a comment, but I'm not. I think enough's been said.
And with that said, it boils down to your decision. So I will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis, I'd like to make a motion that at this time no action be taken.
Do we have a second?
Jerry Williams, second.
Second by the Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, I'll call for the motion. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Moving on to new case number 2-19-106. Mr. Bauerland, Ms. Hawes.
Mr. Chair, members of the board, Kathy Hawes, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves Officer Brandon Bauerland, formerly with the Arizona State Parks and Trails, and served as a supervisor at Tonto State Park. Ms. F. was hired as a temporary park ranger 2 on March 3, 2018, and assigned to Tonto State Park. Within a month of her starting, she reported Bauerland began making inappropriate comments to her talking about her body, shape, and curves. He constantly asked her out on dates and within a few months began touching her when other employees were not around. He would try to grab her hand when they were driving alone in Park's vehicles. He would pull her into his lap while he was sitting in a chair in the gift shop. He would come up behind her when she was leaning against a counter and put his hands on her hips and pull her towards him. He would grab her face and try to kiss her, and she would turn away and tell him she was not dating or interested in being intimate with anyone. The last time he tried to kiss her was Valentine's Day, February 2019. He had called all the scheduled employees off so that it was just the two of them working that day. She turned her head away from the kiss, and he told her, "I don't know why, you just can't give me a chance." He was constantly calling people off work so it would just be the two of them. Other employees interviewed verified this. Sometime in July 2018, Ms. F. was interviewed for her current full-time position. At that time, she told Bauerland's supervisor about his behavior, but was told he could not do anything about it until she was ready to talk to human resources. She told him if nothing came of her complaint, it would be uncomfortable for her at work. On October 16, 2018, Bauerland's supervisor and the Northern Region manager met with Bauerland to discuss Ms. F.'s concerns regarding his behavior. It was their impression he understood he was not to approach Ms. F. after that meeting because it could look like a retaliation. On October 24th, Bauerland's supervisor was informed he had approached Ms. F. several days after that meeting. He called her in his office and asked her why she complained. She told him that his behavior affected her, but also her coworkers who felt they needed to protect her. The other impact was that the seasonal employees were not paid for the days they were called off work. She was afraid to complain while she was a seasonal employee and bluntly tell him to stop because he could make sure seasonals never came back. She did not want to see him fired, but did not want to see him at Tano. If she was forced to work with him, she would quit. When Bauerland was interviewed regarding this investigation, he asserted it was a mutual adult friendship that ran hot and cold and involved flirting. He denied several of the accusations and turned some situations around to say she had initiated the contact between them. He claimed they had an understanding that if it got uncomfortable at any time, all she had to say was stop. He claimed the meeting with his two supervisors was a brief conversation and felt they both gave him the impression there was no issue. He showed the investigators Facebook posts supposedly having been sent to him by Ms. F., some dating as far back as 7 years. There were assumptions made by Bauerland's supervisors that this may have been a consensual relationship, however, was not based on any direct observation of behaviors, overhearing comments, or admissions by Ms. F. There were lapses in supervisor follow-up on two incidents with Bauerland, one when they became aware he had confronted Ms. F. after their meeting with him, and they did not get back with him, and a second when Bauerland had asked Ms. F. to report for work during a snowstorm, and Ms. K, who was his supervisor and the Tano manager, told Ms. F. not to report. Ms. K never went back to Bauerland to find out why he wanted her to come in when he had called everyone else off. The investigation sustained both administrative code violations as well as state parks and trails violations, policy violations. The investigators never went back to Ms. F. to either confirm or refute the claims made by Bauerland that this was a mutual adult flirtatious relationship between the two of them. Based upon the facts of this case, staff recommends the board initiate proceedings. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hollis. Any questions, comments?
So, Mr. Chairman, I guess I should apologize for making a comment. Jerry Williams, this is absolutely disgusting that someone has this certification that I have doing these kind of things in this day and age. So I'm absolutely appalled. I do want that on the record.
Thank you, Chief. Any other comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson. I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Bauerland, Mr. Bauerland's peace officer certification.
Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Under new cases, number 3, 21-008, Anthony Flores. Ms. Hawes, back to you.
On April 11, 2020, Detective Anthony Flores, formerly with the Tucson Police Department, was arrested by TPD officers while off-duty in his personal vehicle for driving under the influence. He had been observed committing several traffic violations by an off-duty DPS trooper, which led the trooper to believe the driver was impaired. The trooper called 911 to report this, and ultimately TPD was able to contact Flores and take him into custody. An analysis of his blood taken that evening returned with a BAC of 0.156, which elevated the offense to an extreme DUI. Flores pled guilty to driving under the influence. He was sentenced to 10 days in jail, 9 of which were suspended, paid a fine, underwent MAD training, and was placed on unsupervised probation from August 11, 2020 to August 6, 2021. Flores was served with a notice of intent to terminate. However, he medically retired November 30th, 2020. Arizona staff researched similar fact-based cases and recommends to the board that you initiate proceedings. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Hawes. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Flores' peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Chris Vasquez, I second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signal by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signal by saying nay. Motion carried. Moving on to case number 4, 20-161, Richard Gear. Ms. Heckel.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and members of the board. Arlene Heckel, one of your compliance specialists. Detective Richard Gear worked for the Arizona Department of Public Safety from 2007 to July 2020. On July 16, 2020, Detective Gear was driving his personal vehicle off-duty. He was driving to his home from a bar. A Scottsdale PD officer initiated a traffic stop due to Mr. Gear not keeping his vehicle in one lane. Once the officer contacted Mr. Gear, he recognized signs of impairment and could smell an odor of alcohol. Detective Gear consented to HGN testing, which returned with 6 out of 6 clues. Detective Gear consented to a preliminary breath test, which showed a positive reading for alcohol at 0.275%. No field sobriety tests were done for Detective Gear's safety. Detective Gear was arrested and taken to the Scottsdale Police Department, where an intoxilizer test was administered. The test results came back with a BAC of 0.260% and 0.259%. Detective Gear was cooperative throughout the DUI and the internal investigations. On July 17, 2020, Detective Gear was terminated from DPS. On October 15, 2020, Detective Gear pled guilty to 28.13.82.82, extreme DUI with a BAC greater than 0.20, and all of the other charges were dropped. Based upon the facts of this case, post staff recommends that the board initiate proceedings, and I would be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Ms. Heckel. Any questions or comments?
Mr. Chair, Ken Hunter, I'm recusing myself.
Noted. Thank you, Ken. Hearing none, I entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, David Rhodes, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Gear's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Sheriff. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chair, Kevin Robinson, I second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Moving on to case number 6, 20-208, Jordan Redd. Mr. Jacobs.
Yes, sir. Mr. Chair, members of the board, Steve Jacobs, compliance specialist. On September 13 of 2020, Officer Jordan Redd, while off duty, was arrested by Gilbert Police for driving while under the influence of alcohol. This came to the Gilbert Police Department's attention through a civilian report of observation of his vehicle speeding, swerving, and striking curbs on the roadway. Upon making contact with the driver, the officer noted that he smelled of alcohol, was stumbling, slurring his words, and had watery eyes. Officer Jordan submitted to a BAC, and The reading was .256. He was arrested and booked for DUI. However, no record has been found in the court records to make a determination whether he was prosecuted or not. According to the internal investigation report, the investigator made comment that the arresting officer reported that Officer Jordan was cooperative and did not attempt to use his position as a Tempe Police Department police officer to gain special treatment. If there are any questions, I will make every effort to answer them.
Thank you,
and
Mr. Jacobs.
I forgot to make recommendation that as with all the other cases today involving DUI, staff recommends that you initiate proceedings.
Thank you, Mr. Jacobs. Any comments, questions? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Wright's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I hear a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second that motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none, call for the motion. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Next case, number 719-170, Renee Algaro, Mr. Toparek.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. Dave Toporek, one of your compliance specialists. This case involves former Arizona Department of Public Safety trooper Renee Algaro. As a result of an internal investigation by the Arizona Department of Public Safety, it was determined that Trooper Algaro provided false information on his application for employment to DPS, made false or misleading statements to the Arizona Police Officer Standards and Training Board by providing false written information on required Arizona Post documents, included false information on an official Department of Public Safety criminal arrest report, made false or misleading statements to the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service concerning his application for U.S. citizenship, and provided false information on his application for employment to the Douglas Police Department. In April of 2005, Algaro submitted an application for naturalization with the United States Citizenship and Immigration Service, CIS. He was subsequently interviewed in August 2005, and while under oath, told the CIS officer that he was living in marital union with Ms. SV, a United States citizen. Unknown to Algaro, Ms. SV had sent a letter to CIS stating that she and Algaro had separated in February of 2005 and she obtained her own residence in May of 2005. In September of 2005, the CIS sent Algaro a letter stating that his application for naturalization was denied. During a post-Garrity interview, Algaro acknowledged to administrative investigators that he had lied to the CIS officer during his interview concerning his application for naturalization. In July of 2010, Algaro participated in a polygraph examination for employment with the United States Customs and Border Protection. During the examination, Algaro revealed that he had worked for a company in Mexico, which is a tax administration service. Algaro admitted to accepting approximately $100 U.S. in total from customers in return for charging them less than the required fees. Algaro failed to disclose this employment on his DPS application, a post statement of personal history and application for certification form, and on applications that he had completed for other law enforcement agencies. In March of 2012, Algaro applied for employment with the Douglas Police Department. On the application, when asked about either being fired from a job or having stolen or failed to pay for merchandise from a job, Algaro replied no. During his post-Garrity administrative interview, he admitted that he worked for Lufthansa Airlines from 2001 to 2010 and was terminated from their employment for taking magazines, which he would sell on eBay. In 2014, Algaro applied for employment with the Cochise County Sheriff's Office. During his administrative investigation, Algaro acknowledged that he was not hired by the Sheriff's Office because he did not disclose being terminated from Lufthansa Airlines, and that was why he included the information on his application for DPS and accompanying Arizona Post forms. Algara was dishonest by answering no to having been involved in bribery and theft from an employer on his application for Arizona Department of Public Safety. In addition, he was dishonest by indicating no to questions 32A and 32B of the Arizona Post forms concerning ever having committed a felony or an offense which would have been a felony if committed in the state. In January of 2019, Algara conducted a criminal investigation in which a suspect was arrested for illegal marijuana violations. In his post-Garrity interview, he admitted that some of the information he documented in the Department of Public Safety report was false. The administrative investigation conducted by DPS resulted in sustained policy violations for fraud or misrepresentation in securing employment, dishonesty, and improper procedure. He was terminated from employment with the Department of Public Safety in September of 2019. Based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that you initiate proceedings, and I'd be happy to answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, Mr. Toporek. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain
a motion. Mr. Chair, I'd have to excuse myself.
Thank you. Well noted, Ken. Thank you. I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Jerry Williams, I move to initiate proceedings on Mr. Algar's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
Hi, Mr. Chairman. Chris Voskis, aye. Second.
Thank you, Chief. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. We're on case number 820-214, Mr. Espinosa. Mr. Toporek, back to you.
Good morning again, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. This matter involves former Officer Juan Espinosa of the Fort Mojave Tribal Police Department. On or about December 13th, 2020, off-duty Officer Juan Espinosa was arrested for extreme DUI, 0.20 or above, and other DUI-related criminal offenses after being stopped for traffic violations by the Bullhead City Police Department. During the investigation, Espinosa submitted to breath testing to measure his blood alcohol content levels, and the results were 0.199 and 0.208 readings. Because of the DUI arrest, Espinosa was terminated from the employment with the Fort Mojave Police Department. The criminal DUI case is still pending before the Bullhead City Municipal Court. And based on the facts of this case, staff recommends that you initiate proceedings. And I'd be happy to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Mr. Bowart. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, Chris Voskis, I move to initiate proceedings against Mr. Espinosa's peace officer certification.
Thank you, Chief. Do I have a second?
Mr. Chairman, Kevin Robinson, I'll second the motion.
Thank you, Professor. Any further discussion? Hearing none. All in favor of the motion, signify by saying aye.
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 All opposed, signify by saying nay. Motion carries. Thank you, everyone. Action item, future identified. Matt?
We will follow up with Chief Francisco of Navajo DPS, and I'll have an answer for you by next month on whether it's an access to training issue that they're having. But other than that, I'm happy to entertain any future agenda items the board might have for us.
Thank you, Matt.
So, Mr. Chairman, can I ask us to figure out a good time to have a discussion about DUIs kind of in general so we can hash it out with the new board?
We can put it on the agenda for next month if you'd like. Absolutely.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Chief. Any other comments, thoughts before we close, members?
Mr. Chairman, I would just make one comment. So this is my second meeting, and I just want to thank Matt Giordano and the Arizona Post staff. This is incredibly organized, easy to follow, lots of great information, efficient, and a pleasure to be a part of. So thank you for all your effort.
Thanks, Sandy. She's the one that keeps us all on
time. I'll treat to that. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you, board members. Thank you, everyone. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Jerry Williams, so moved, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Chief. Everybody have a safe month.